All right, all right, all right. This is the best football show. I am Brian Baldinger. I'm here nearly every single day. You can see behind me is the schedule for weeks 5 and 6 and what just happened. On the third floor at NFL Films, I get a chance to watch all the games, studying them all from week 4, starting to look ahead to week 5. We want to get into it. But in the meantime, you can get this show every day on your free Odyssey app. You can download it, like it, subscribe to wherever you get your apps from your podcast from. This one is here every day. I am Brian Baldinger. I am at Baldy NFL on all the social media platforms, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, you name it, YouTube. I'm out there. So let's get to it. This weekend, I'm pretty excited. I know record-wise, it doesn't look exciting, but I'm going to be in Cincinnati. I'm going to be in the jungle this weekend, Baltimore and Cincinnati. And you look at Joe Burrow right now, these last two games, and he is lighting it up. And really, they've got everything going for him now, okay? So they've got T. Higgins back in the lineup. Jamar looks like he's gotten over, you know, all of his, you know, frustrations about contract and everything because he's balling out. They've got, a young player in Andrea Iosivash, who a kid out of Princeton that, you know, just keeps catching big passes. They got the two-back system right now with Zach Moss and Chase Brown. And they got a rookie right tackle, you know, in Mims right now, who played really well in his first start against Carolina last week. And it's all there. You know, a pretty good offensive line. All right, we'll see how Mims holds up, you know, against Baltimore, Kyle Van Noy, and, you know, Owe and some of their pass rushers. But I feel like Cincinnati right now offensively feels like they could put up 30. You know, I mean, they've been doing that now 2 weeks in a row. The offense is clicking. Probably shouldn't have beaten Washington the week before, but defensively, they're not very good. They're just not. They're not very big inside. They get pushed around. They got one real legitimate pass rusher in Trey Hendrickson. They've got, you know, and look, Cam Taylor-Britt's a good corner. Dax Hill is a good player. Like, they got good players, but they're not getting pressure up front, and teams are running the ball against them. And so here comes the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, you watch what they've done now the last 2 weeks, and they're just bludgeoning people. I mean, they bludgeon the Bills. They bludgeon the Cowboys. And so I guess really what you want to try to do if you're Cincinnati defensively right now is you can't give up an 87-yard run to start the game the way Buffalo did last week. The play is a basic wham play. I mean, Ed Oliver, the defense tackle, gets whammed, all right, by Patrick Ricard. And there goes Derrick Henry, picks up 2 blocks down the field, and he goes 87 yards. You can't give Derrick Henry 87-yard touchdown runs this week. Like, you can't give him a runway. I mean, the guy he ran away from the entire Buffalo Bills defense. You know, and so he's had 155 and 199 yards rushing. And basically, the Ravens have run for 550 yards the last 2 weeks. Like, you're not going to win the game if you do that. I don't care what Joe Burrow does. So what you got to try to do is you got to do your best to make Lamar beat you in the passing game, which is hard. Like, he's still playing great quarterback. You know, and some of his runs are drop back passes and he just scrambles. I got it. But you can't give him the big runs that Derrick Henry has gotten against Dallas and against Buffalo. And so how you do that is just you got to play really sound, fundamental run gap defense. Your run fits have to be good. There are two linebackers, okay? Jermaine Pratt and Logan Wilson have been playing side by side with each other. And along with Mike Hilton now, the nickelback, they've been playing side by side for 4 years together, maybe even 5 years. Like, they know what a run fit's supposed to look like. They're not very good up front at defensive tackle. They're just not. They're young. They're a little undersized. They get pushed around. Carolina did it to them last week. But you can, if you put your hat in a gap and you say, you can't let Derrick Henry get a runway, he's going to, like, defensive backs aren't going to want to tackle. So you have to, you at least got to make them bleed a little bit. You just can't give them, you know, the big runs and 250, 270 yards rushing. But if you can make them bleed it a little bit, make them work for it, you can keep the score down, take some time off the clock, and then Joe Burrow's just got to be extremely efficient. The Bengals have been in this situation before. They've gotten off to bad starts before. They got a home game. They're 0-2 at home. It's time for this team to show up at home. And I think what they have to do is, if they win the toss, put the offense out there. Like, put it in Joe Burrow's hands. Honestly, right now, he's got everything he needs. He's got a decent offensive line, a running game, really good receivers that he trusts. And honestly, Joe Burrow's not missing many right now. So I feel like this game has a chance to be a real shootout. All right, that's Joe Burrow and the Bengals. You know, they get the win. Okay, 1-3. It's not pretty, but a win against Baltimore, they're right back in the race. So this is, to me, that's their season. You lose to Baltimore and you let them win 3 in a row, you go to 1-4. Like, this thing all shakes out really early. Okay, now let's go to Philly. Philly's got a bye week. I live outside of Philadelphia. I'm doing their game next week against Cleveland. The players have all, you know, dispersed. They've left town, but there's a lot of what, you know, coaches call rat poison out there right now. And it's spread all over the place. The defense outside of, you know, a game against New Orleans has been terrible. So Vic Fangio, we'll get to him. But offensively, look, they played last week without A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, all right, Britton Covey. Those are their top three receivers. They played without him against a good Tampa team. Like, they didn't handle the pressure well from Todd Bowles, but things get a little easier if you've got three receivers that you really trust out there to throw the ball to. And they're going to get Lane Johnson back at right tackle. They played without him last week. I think the offense in Philadelphia is still going to be good. But defensively, they have real issues. So here you go. They spent $51 million to sign Bryce Huff to come and replace Hassan Reddick. And Vic Fangio has coached Hall of Fame outside linebackers his whole career. When he was coaching the Dome Patrol in New Orleans for Jim Mora, I mean, he had Ricky Jackson, Pat Swilling. He was coaching Hall of Fame players. When he was in Denver, he had Von Miller. When he was in Chicago, he had Khalil Mack. When he was in San Francisco, he had Justin Smith. He's coached great players. So here comes Bryce Huff, who gets 10 sacks in New York last year. He's going to be the replacement for Hassan Reddick. But Bryce Huff is a pass rush specialist. He needs to put his hands in the dirt. He needs to get into a sprinter stance, and he needs to just go get the quarterback. You can't stand him up in a two-point stance like it's T.J. Watt or Khalil Mack and think he's going to be a good player. He's got no stats in four games, basically. He hasn't come close to a quarterback. He was getting beat and blocked by Justin School last week, who's a backup tackle. So they got to figure out, you know, what they want to do with Bryce Huff. If you put him in a pass rush specialist mode, he can get pressures because he's got an elite takeoff. But Usain Bolt isn't setting a world record in the 100-meter dash in a two-point stance. He's getting in the blocks in a four-point stance. And the same thing you have to do with Bryce Huff. So they got to figure that out. Look, I'm not here to bash Jordan Davis because there's only a couple of those guys in this league that are 6'6", 350, 360, 370 pounds. Devondre Sweat, you know, with the Titans is. Vita Vea is. There's only a couple of them. But Jordan Davis right now doesn't know how to play. He's only playing roughly 50% of the snaps so that he can be fresh. But he doesn't pursue. He doesn't get off blocks. He doesn't affect the passing game. And he was the 13th pick in the draft. Like, you know, and he's part of the rotation. Jalen Carter can be a dominant player when he wants to be, but he isn't always. They have problems with their defensive line right now. Real problems. You know, whether it's the rotation, whether it's the consistent rush. Last week, Baker Mayfield, you give Baker time. I don't care how good Slay covers Trey Palmer. Like, Baker can put the ball right through the eye of a needle. He did last week. And so, look, the rookie right corner is a really nice player, does a lot of good things. You know, when you watch him play right now, he can break on the ball. Quinyon Mitchell, he can break on the ball. He's the first corner taken. His breaks on the ball are really good. His coverage deep down the field in big pass plays has been very good. Going back to week one, it's been good. But you know, he's still a rookie out there. So tackling has been an issue for this Eagles team. Zach Bond is a hell of a player. But I just don't think the run fits are consistent. But my biggest concern for this Eagles defense is their pass rush and the play of the defensive line. Specifically, like Josh Sweat's a good player. Brandon Graham is probably still the best pass rusher in his 15th year. You know, they're just not getting great play up front. And if they want to win this division, if they want to, you know, slow down Washington, then they got to they've got to come back and they've got to play harder and they've got to figure some things out with Bryce Huff, because you can't just pay him to go away. Like, Vic's got to figure out, Vic Fangio's got to figure out a way to make this work. All right, so that's the Eagles. Let's get to the Dolphins right now. They're on the fourth quarter. Like, they've played four quarterbacks. You know, we saw Tyler Huntley on Monday night. It was ugly. They can't score. They finally scored a touchdown, the first in three games at the very end of the game. But they struggle in every area. You know, they throw a lateral to Tyreek Hill in the opening drive of the game. Nobody even knows it's a fumble when he drops it. Like, nobody goes after the ball. Like, you know, they're fundamentally, they're just not very sound. You know, the pre-snap penalties are terrible. I don't know that Tyler Huntley, he's going to start again this week. I don't know that he's a good fit for this offense. They can't get the ball down the field to Tyreek, you know, or to Jalen Waddle, and that's what this thing is built upon. You can have all the speed you want at running back, and they have plenty. And Devon Achane and Jalen Wright, they have plenty of speed. They couldn't block Tennessee. They couldn't block Devontae Sweat or Harold Landry. They couldn't block the second level of Tennessee's linebacking core last week. Like, they weren't good. You know, I mean, it's all kind of smoke and mirrors a little bit when Tua's out there and you got all this play action and run fakes and motions and shifts, and you get people kind of freezing. All of a sudden, you get a quarterback in there that can't do the things that Tua can, can't see the field the way Tua does, go through progressions. And it's not fair to Tyler. I play with a quarterback off the street. It's hard. It's really hard. Come in there, expect him to learn a very intricate offense. And, okay, this, you know, the touch on the deep ball, going back to Troy Aikman, the last thing that happened for any quarterback in a passing game is the deep ball. Because you can't practice Tyreek Hill going, you know, 22 miles an hour in practice. He can't. They're not going to run like that in practice. They will in a game, but it's hard to get those, simulate that, the deep ball in practice. So sometimes the last thing to come for an offense is the deep ball. And you're asking Tyler Huntley to do this. Like, he's a good athlete and he's a tough kid, but I don't know. Is it too early for a funeral in Miami? I saw Jalen Phillips go down last week and it hurt me. That kid worked so hard to get back. I don't know how bad his injury is. I'm not following it right now. But he, like, I saw him pounding the grass after the injury, knowing I think it might be bad. The last thing I want to finish with here today is the Denver Broncos have won two in a row. It's really remarkable. They went to Tampa and beat a good Tampa team, undefeated Tampa team. And then they went to Greenbrier, West Virginia, went to a golf resort that Sean Payton used to take his Saints to. In the summer to practice. They went there, and then they came to New York in a rainstorm, and they kept the Jets out of the end zone. And I know Vance Joseph and the defense is the talk of this league, and it should be. And really, they play the Raiders at home this week, and they've lost 8 straight to the Raiders. But the guy that has me super excited is the new right tackle, Alec Palcheski. Like, this Palcho is the – He's the American dream. This kid is born in Poland, okay? His parents immigrated. They didn't get married there. They immigrated when they were young, when they were 20 years old to the United States. You know, his father worked construction. His mother became a nurse. They met. They get married. They have Alex. They have a sister. Like, this kid didn't learn how to speak English till he was 7 years old. You know, like, they spoke Polish in South Side of Chicago his whole life until he went to school. He wrestled. He was on a water polo team. He never played football until he went to Illinois. He played 64 games in Illinois, though. Like, he's – and now he makes the team last year, and he gets hurt. They put him on injured reserve. You know, they lose the right tackle, you know, for a while. He was out for a month. He starts against Tampa, plays great. Last week against the Jets, he played every snap. And he was really good. Paucho. Like, this kid is starting at right tackle in this league. He has to pinch himself. He can't believe it. But you know what? He's a former wrestler. All wrestlers, to me, anybody that wants to be a great football player, I don't care what position. You want to be Ray Lewis? Wrestle. You know, you want to be Peyton Wilson or Zach Frazier in Pittsburgh? Go wrestle. Like, I go through the list of guys that were great. Tony Siragusa, state champion wrestler. Ron Heller, state champion wrestler in New York. Like, this kid's a wrestler. And when he plays like a wrestler. He gets his hands on people. He doesn't let them go. Like, he didn't have any penalties last week. He was really good. And the offensive line in the second half outplayed the Jets. In the run game, protection game, they threw a touchdown pass. Just hats off to Alec Palcheski. I wish him the best of luck against the Raiders. I don't know if Max Crosby's going. Not going this week. I have a feeling that he needs another week on that ankle. But regardless, like this, they got a chance to end this streak against the Raiders of 8 straight losses and stack their 3rd straight win. And is it too early to look ahead for Denver? The way that defense is playing, I mean, they can keep the score down against anybody. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Best Football Show. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow as we really get into Thursday Night Football in Week 5, only on the Best Football Show.